FM.
On a Friday, yeah. We look back at the highlights and lowlights in what a week.
Oh, PD. Beck, Cozzy and Lisa.
What a week. Guys, what a week. We're back and we've hit the ground running. Well, more like a slow jog, still carrying a bit of holiday weight from all that good food, of which I'm sure the three of you had plenty. Cozzy's even growing some.
I reckon there's nothing more rewarding than growing your own fruit and veggies.
Because you eat a lot of veggies.
Yeah. So I was planting the sweet corn. I'm reading the packet, and then it says, sweet corn, good companion plant. Beans, cucumber, or peas. I'm like, okay. Wait, what? Sweet corn needs a friggin' friend.
They get lonely.
It gets a long way. Yes. Guess what?
What?
They're the good companions, bad companions. Oh,
hang on, does it list bad companions?
It lists bloody tomato.
The tomatoes. I knew it was them. Even when it was the bears, I knew it was them. But speaking of companions, Beck revealed to us the unlikely pairing of luggage and street food?
Over the break, I went to Melbourne for a couple of days and I had my little suitcase because, as you know, I don't pack lightly. And I thought, I've got all day wandering around the city. What am I going to do with my bags?
Yeah.
So I Googled luggage storage and a little Google ad comes up and it says, we'll store your bags, give us your credit card details.
Oh, dear.
And on payment, we'll tell you the address to drop your bags.
No, thanks.
Oh, that's No.
So I hop in the cab, and then when he drops me off, he's like, is this the place? And it's a Euros bar. And the guy behind the counter is making a Euros, and I'm like, excuse me, sir, is this where I drop my bags? He goes, yeah, just let me finish this Euros.
Yeah. Oh, I'd like to finish a Euros. Limo, do you want a Euros? Lamb, chicken, or duck?
I was going through a park, then I saw rustling in a bush, and then a duck just walks out onto the path in front of me.
Yeah.
And it wasn't, and the duck gave me side eye, like it was giving me attitude. So I went to walk around the duck, and it launched! It did! It came straight at me, like it got me in the side. So I start running. The duck flies at me from behind, it hits me in the back of the head, and I'm not making any of this up. I can feel the wings flapping and hitting my ears, right? It's clinging onto my head.
Yep, that's a classic duck move. They hold grudges, you know. Very loyal. Ducks, they love each other. A bit like Elena from Ross Trevor when we opened
the petty complaint partner hotline.
Yeah, that's the one.
The complaints hotline is open. Elena in Ross Trevor.
Hi, I love you guys, first of all.
Thanks, Elena. You can call anytime.
Yeah. The love is mutual.
Thank you. I love my husband a lot more, but no.
and you know what, Elena? That's a good thing.
Important.
That's a very good thing.
It is a good thing. Yep, well, that's it. Ah, what the hell? I'll throw this in too.
Adidas.
Adidas.
It's like we're...
How do you say it?
Adidas.
Yeah, I'll
Adidas,
say Adidas.
That's what I said.
No, you're
yeah, sure.
See you next week, guys.
Get that funny feeling in the morning.
Beck, Cozzy and Limo for breakfast.
Why?
It's Flashback Friday.
What we do here is go back.
You know, guys, we've been working together now for like 3 years as part of this show, and we've always done the whole Beck, Cozzy and Limo, which I love and it's catchy. I've got some issues with Beck's name always being first, but we'll park that aside for just a second. I just think that we could start the show a different way. Like, and I've got this great idea. I just want to run past you guys and see what you think about it. I want to fly it up the flag because I want to start the show in a manner that makes all South Australians happy. Just kill the bed bleeps. Sure. I need everyone to listen very closely.
Okay.
Imagine, like, you wake up in the morning and you flick it over to SAFM. You go, oh, the Brekkie Show's about to start. You flick it over and you hear this. Everyone's off to work.
I'm Smurfette.
I'm Hefty.
I'm Papa.
Yes,
Believe me, you can be Brains.
Sure.
Hey, whoever hooked up with Smurfette, just off topic for a second?
Ooh.
Did she end up with anyone? They were just friends.
Well, where did Sassette come from?
Did they ever do a bachelorette season?
I think the whole thing was a bachelorette, wasn't it? She had 100 Smurfs to choose from. Still couldn't pick one. Classic.
Great Saturday morning cartoon, though.
Anyway, don't you reckon that just makes you happy? That just takes me back.
Oh, Saturday morning cartoons. I would sit in a beanbag with a bowl of Cocoa Pops. Couldn't be happier. What a simple time.
And they were a joy, weren't they? Because they were our only opportunity to sit down and watch cartoons. Whereas now, look at my five-year-old today. He can choose from about 35 different streaming services and watch whatever he wants, whenever he wants.
All right, monster track tickets, 13 10 60. Let's do it. Saturday morning cartoons. Okay. What'd you watch?
Yeah, what was the cartoon? What was your weapon of choice? Call up and tell us. 13 10 60. We'll send someone to the monster trucks for free. Mm-hmm.
There were so many, but the one that for some reason leaps into my head, and I think because it's got a cool, catchy song, is Josie and the Pussycats. Uh-huh. Josie and the Pussycats. Yes.
Wow, anyone over 50 right now would be having a wow of a time.
There you go.
Okay, well, I'm going to stick with the girl power theme because my favourite was She-Ra. She-Ra, She-Ra.
I am Adora, He-Man's twin sister and defender of the crystal.
Oh, there you go.
Hey, she's Adora.
Shed hot boots.
Oh, she's Adora, and then she turns into She-Ra. See, I only learned on this show about a year and a half ago that... Okay. He-Man, who was my favourite, and She-Ra, I always thought they were a couple.
Oh, okay.
But it actually gives it away in the credits there. It actually says my twin brother.
And the masters of the universe.
Yeah, what a cartoon that was. What he rode around on a tiger
Battle
called...
Cat.
Battle Cat!
And the Castle of Greyskull, wasn't
like,
it? That's it.
Like, I love the Toyota that I drive around in, but how cool would it be to have a Battle Cat? Like, imagine if I did South Aussie with Cosby, always on the back of Battle Cat. Whoa!
All right, this
welcome
is good.
To Port Wakefield.
Fun Friday, Flashback Friday, 13 10 60. What are we after, guys? Come on, let's
Your
go.
Favourite Saturday morning cartoon from back in the day. He-Man was hot, just quietly.
Just go easy.
Little Becky didn't mind He-Man.
Hey, Shearer was no oil painting herself.
All right, 13 10 60.
No, I mean, she's good looking.
What?
Charlene in Two Worlds, what was yours?
Morning, guys. Cat dog.
Oh. One fine day with a whoop and a purr, a baby was born and it caused a little stir. No good buzzard, no three-eyed frog, it's a feline, canine, little cat dog.
I don't remember this one.
No, I didn't. Don't know that one, Charlene. What happened in cat dog?
I was basically half cat, half dog. they lived in the house together and,
And, Charlene, what era is this? 70s, 80s, 90s?
Well, I was born in 93,
so... Oh, no need to brag. Okay, so that's what us oldies...
So it might be a late 90s, early noughties, maybe. Yeah. Okay, thank you, Charlene. Jen in Blakeview. What's your Flashback Friday, Saturday morning cartoon?
I used to love watching the Rugrats.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I've got a tropical island on here.
Yeah.
There
you go. Yeah. Without the kids.
Yeah.
What'd you love about it, Jen?
Everything Tommy Pickles used to do.
Yeah.
Between him and Angelica, they were my favourite.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. What about Bugs Bunny and that? Geez, there were some good cartoons
there. Oh, the old
there.
Looney Tunes. That's Looney real Tunes. Old school gear. Yeah,
Looney Tunes.
Quality. Oh, this.
There we go.
A lot of violence when you look back.
This is how we should finish our show.
Why
don't we finish our show every Friday with this?
No. Not that nice.
Jay from down south at Narra Court. What about you, buddy?
How you going, legends?
Yeah, good, matey. What did you used to watch?
Mate. Oh, well, everything was pretty good, but I got into the old Captain Planet.
Yeah. Wind, water, hot, planet.
By your powers combined, I am Captain Planet.
What was Captain Planet's superpower, Jay?
Oh, everything, wasn't it? Wind, fire, earth. Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Just the vibe.
Not a lot you can do with earth.
Natasha called in to suggest Gummy Bears. Gummy Bears was one of my favourites.
Gummy Bears, bouncing here and there and every... You know one?
Yeah.
Here we go. Dashing and daring,
courageous. Yes!
We have to wait for the chorus.
Okay.
Oh, no, I don't think
we have to wait.
Oh, my gosh. No,
we might not get to it.
Please. 2 seconds away.
Oh,
here
no.
we go.
Is it...
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Lisa in Morpher Vale, what's your favourite cartoon from back in the day?
Winnie the Pooh on Saturday Disney.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, so you used to love getting up early to watch that one.
Yeah, I could really relate to Eeyore, the little dark cloud that followed him around.
Yeah.
I feel like that
you
was
are a little bit Eeyore-esque.
Frank in Lightsview, what did you love from your Saturday morning cartoons back in the day?
Mate, the ultimate had to be the Wacky Races, mate. I had it.
And now here they are. Yes!
the most daredevil group of daddy drivers to ever whirl their wheels in the wacky races, competing for the title of the world's wackiest racer.
Yes.
Remember there was Penelope Pitstop?
Yes.
Oh, and I had a Dick big crush on her.
Yes. Yeah.
Dick Dastardly.
My first crush, Penelope Pitstop. Oh, yeah, Penelope, you go, girl.
Yeah. Jeez, Frank, it sounds like you're still sort of hanging on to that one a little bit, buddy.
I know, but Penelope Pitstop, Frank, was hanging out with Peter Perfect, and that was slightly annoying on the show. And then there was Muttley, remember the laughter? Oh. Dick Dastardly, who had the rain cloud over him all the time.
It's funny how you do have a crush on a cartoon character. Mm. I remember when I was a young fella, like Jessica Rabbit. Whew, yeah. You remember her?
Not bad, I'm just drawn that way.
Don't do that, please.
Get that Adelaide feeling.
With Bec, Cozzy and Limo for breakfast.
Because I haven't banged on about it that much, but I did have a little procedure last week, a little day surgery with some esophageal issues.
Yeah, your throat's causing you issues.
Just explain
the passageway down to your heart.
Yeah, I've got my esophagus is like a third of the size that it should be. So all my food's been getting stuck and it's not been a pleasant
experience. Because you don't eat meat, bro. You need a chicken parmy to open that thing up. You do.
You know what I've said for ages? You chew your food way too much.
You know what I need? I need someone to just put a plunger on my mouth.
Folk,
and just like what you do when the pipe's stuck at home and just like clear that out.
You know, since you've been going on about this every day, it's made me really think, I wonder how big my oesophagus is.
Yes.
Do I have a wider one or a narrower one?
I can hazard a guess.
Do they offer an esophagus measuring service just for people to wander in and find out?
You could put yourself under at the Western Hospital just to find out how big your esophagus is.
I'm glad I'm a married man because I'd hate to be single going out and being judged on the size of my oesophagus.
So I've come out of the surgery. I've got a little room to myself.
Hello.
It was a beautiful day and the sun was shining in through the window.
Oh.
And they brought me in a little meal. They brought me in a little plate of sandwiches. Egg and lettuce sandwich is underrated.
Really?
Because you don't make an egg and lettuce sandwich at home by yourself ever, do you? You don't.
Yeah, it is a quality sandwich and it's right up there in my eyes with the, you know when you never make these sandwiches, those chicken ones.
Yeah.
With they always cut the crust off them.
With all the nice mayo and...
My God.
It's the white bread. It was fresh white bread. It was an egg and lettuce sandwich. And on the side was a little fruit platter. And I was sitting there and I was a little woozy, but I was like, this is living. Yeah. No one's bothering me.
Yeah.
And the nurse came in and said, would you like me to call your husband to come pick you up?
Yeah.
And I went, oh, actually... just not feeling great. I'm a little woozy. I'm a little dizzy.
Yeah.
I fear if I get up, I might faint.
Wow, that's pretty cool, taking up an extra hospital bed.
No.
It was like 4 o'clock in the afternoon. They didn't need the bed urgently.
What happened? Did you just shuffle over with your little sandwich, look out the window, see 19 ambulances lined up ramping?
I just didn't want to go home. I wasn't ready to have the kids say what's for dinner. I just wanted to sit in the sunshine and eat an egg and lettuce sandwich in peace.
I do that all the time. I get home from work, I sit in the driveway and then I turn the car off and then I can hear Sam yelling at the kids inside and I just go... I'm just not ready to go in.
No.
And I sit in the car by myself just for a few minutes.
So a little note for the kids and for James, if you want to make Beck happy, an egg and lettuce sandwich and a tiny bowl of fruit.
And a little peace and quiet.
Get that funny feeling in the morning.
Beck, Cozzy and Limo for breakfast.
I am suffering from a problem. If you suffer from the same problem, 131060 is our phone number. We are here for you. Well, I'm here for you.
Okay.
A note for hat and cap makers everywhere. There is no such thing as one size fits all, okay?
Yes.
And I'm sick of being embarrassed in your shop while I grab a hat and it says one size fits all. And I go, great. Well, I'm part of the group all, so yeah. I'll put it on. And then I try and put it on and I can't squeeze it over my giant head because I've got a buff head, a gargantuan melon. An enormous noggin, a huge skull, whatever you want to call it.
Because it's your brain so big.
Well, I've got a huge... Well, yes, it's my enormous brain. It's running out of room. So I get a one-size-fits-all hat and I try and put it on and it looks like a tiny little thimble just sitting on the top of my head. And that's when the shop assistant comes over and says, can I help? And I go, well, can you get me a smaller head? Because apparently that's what I need to be able to buy a hat that fits me these days.
What sort of hat are we talking about here? What are you kind of like a swimmer's cap?
I'm wearing a cap right now that is on the absolute last notch of it. And often I wear caps with the bit at the back completely undone.
Now you know how I feel about belts. My old man, before he passed away, used to have a leather punch. Every time I go back to Canina, I'd say, Dad, keep punching like a couple holes in this. He's like, buddy, you've only got another couple of centimetres of the belt to go.
Well,
you get to the end, of the belt, there's not much point. You want to use a bit of rope.
I'm surprised your pants aren't staying up with all that force. But seriously, I need to put an extension into my hat.
Yeah, righto.
It's difficult.
Or beanie. A beanie will stretch.
Well, you get a beanie, but that's no good for summer.
You could, instead of a beanie, you could just use, like, cut open a bean bag.
Hey, can I? That is a possibility. That could work. You know the worst day of the year?
Yeah.
For people with big heads like myself? Yeah. Christmas Day.
Oh,
yeah. You open a bonbon, you get out those little hats. You've got to tear it almost to the end.
I know.
To make it even. And you can't sit near a fan because it'll just blow straight off.
I was so embarrassed that day you and I had Christmas together and you came out and you were wearing that pillowcase. I was just like, poor bugger.
It was not a good look. In the movie. And I've been paranoid about it ever since I watched the movie So I Married an Axe Murderer, a Mike Myers film from 1993. Here's Mike Myers playing a Scottish character talking about his son whose head is in the way of the television.
Look at the size of that boy's head.
Shh.
I'm not kidding. It's like an orange on a toothpick.
You've got to give the boy a complex.
Well, that's a huge noggin. It's a virtual planetary. Has its own weather system.
Right there. My head has its own weather system. So, if you want to become a millionaire and you're sitting out there somewhere, start a hat company that caters for giant heads. We're out there. Trust me. And number two, I'm starting a support group. We're going to start a Facebook page and we'll just talk about the hats we would have bought if our heads were smaller.
Why don't you, instead of just talking about something, and this is where I say to people, don't just talk about your ideas, turn them into fruition, whatever that word is. Why don't you start your own business and call it Fat Hats?
Fat Hats. I'm onto it. I'm down there. It starts today. Fat Hats. Look out for it, people.
Get that Adelaide feeling.
With Bet, Cozzy and Limo for breakfast.
Hey, I noticed that hashtag forklifts has been trending on social media over the last 24 hours. And it's because Prime Minister Scott Morrison suggested to National Cabinet that kids be allowed... This is great. It sounds made up. Like, it sounds like a joke headline. But it's true. Scott Morrison suggested kids be allowed to drive forklifts.
What could possibly go wrong?
This is not The Chaser. It's not an episode of The Simpsons. It's a true story to help alleviate supply chain issues that are happening around the country at the moment with so many people going down with COVID.
Can you define kids for me, mate? Like, what age are they talking?
Well, the current, you need to be 18 at the moment. I think he wants to lower it to 16 or even 15, some people were suggesting.
When I guess you have to have a driver's license, though, surely. You can't be 15 because you wouldn't have a normal driver's license.
I think he saw an episode of Doogie Howser and went, let's get kids doing adult stuff. That'll be a good idea.
There'd be a lot of capable 16, 17-year-olds that I would feel comfortable using a forklift around the farm and stuff like that. A well-trained 17-year-old.
I know where you're coming from, because chicken and chips are in short supply, and you're like, I don't care. Who drives the forklift?
I don't care if the kid's 2 years old with no arms. Give him a go.
Get kids in forklifts immediately. Yeah.
No, but I know it sounds bizarre from a city point of view, but like plenty of kids on farms have been doing stuff like this for years. I think it just depends on the kid.
Well, because how old were you when you first drove a car?
Oh, very young. Like probably 6 or 7, I suppose.
6 or 7?
Well, certainly on the lap with your dad, and then you know.
6 or 7?
Okay.
You
couldn't reach the pedals.
Well, no, with your dad to start with. Yeah. Well, your mum. No, just clearing that up.
Women can drive too.
Just not well.
tie boxes to your feet. Beck, how old were you when you first
drove? Oh, I'm a city slicker. So I think 16 when I got my L's. Chucked them on the Torrey.
Yeah, okay, 16. I remember Dad bought a Ford Prefect. He paid $100 for it and brought it home. And I learnt to drive in that. I think I was 10 or maybe 11.
Wow. Yeah. This country stuff's insane.
We were certainly...
How'd you stay alive?
We had what we used to call our second car. It was a Toyota Corolla. And we used to... A Corona, I think it was. And we used to be able to... Dad would just take us out to the people's farms and stuff. And we'd just tear around in the paddock in that. Go your hardest.
have a bit of fun. Oh. Hey, let's chuck it out there on 13, 10, 60. Oh, Kirrily in Plimpton Park. How old were you when you learned to drive, Kirrily?
I think I was about 8, and a bit like Cozzy, you know, on the farm, on my dad's ute. But I wasn't tall enough to reach the pedals, so I had to sit on dad's lap and, you know, do the steering, and, you know, he'd do the pedals, and, you know, he'd tie me down to do the gear changes and that, being a manual car, you know.
Oh, right. And, Kirrily, did it have the three on the tree, or were you were they on the floor, the gear stick?
Oh, it were, like in the central. It wasn't on the dash like some of them are. No, it was sort of on the ground. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, when you think about it, my daughter's just turned 13 and she's a competent driver. So at the farm, I'll say to her, can you go and move the car or go and bring the car up to this area or whatever?
Can you do that on property?
I think you can.
Grant Steves is too busy.
Yeah.
All right, 13, 10, 60. 13, 10, 60, give us a call.
Daniel in Modbury, how old were you?
G'day guys, how are you?
Good mate. How old were you when you learned to drive?
Oh, it wasn't me. I'm actually teaching my son. He's only 9.
Right.
He can already drop his tyres down and drive up and down the beach and do the beach entry and exits. And it's all about just giving a bit of responsibility and they're fine.
Daniel, there's a great saying that Choco Williams from The Power once said, and I thought that's brilliant. If you give someone responsibility, generally you find they respond. And I reckon that's the same with kids. Mm. You know, if you give them something, you're like, yeah, I will let you drive the car, but treat it with respect, you're normally pretty all right.
Is it as long as that's not a... public beach thing.
Yeah, I'm just thinking.
No. Daniel from Modbury's got his own beach.
Yeah, he's got a private beach. Good.
No, he owns Silver Sands.
A lot of kids run up and down that beach. Perfectly fine.
David in Roseworthy, how old were you when you learned to drive?
G'day, guys. I was 12 years old when I first learned to drive. I was driving on our own farm, like with my old man there, and I also did a fair bit of driving with the old man when he went out to see other farm clients. He'd pull over on the side of the road and he'd say, "Nah, your turn to drive, young fella." So I'd get in his company car and we'd drive out to the property.
Isn't that beautiful, David? I love memories like that. I was just chatting to the guys during the song there. Matilda, like I said, she's just turned 13. Like, she drove the water cart with the trailer with a ton of water on the back for 3 hours the other day. So she drove that around the farm.
What's the chances of that rolling?
Oh, no, she's only poking along slowly. And then I was like, I was off the side of it watering the trees.
Yeah, you were there.
She's 3 hours. I paid her for it.
There we go. I was just about to ask, what was the hourly rate on that one?
$2.50.
The city slicker. See, I learned to drive in the Coles car park at Blackwood, just driving around in circles, and I still can't park.
You're 28.
Get that funny feeling in the morning.
Bet Cozzy and Limo for breakfast.
Oh, it's Limo's legend and loser of the week.
Plenty happening as always, guys, and a number of nominations for our legends of the week. Ash Barty. Don't we love Ash Barty? Is she our most likable and most loved sports star at the moment?
I think mostly because her surname rhymes with party. You just can't help but love her.
You can't not write that in a headline, can you?
Nope.
It does make for a good headline, the Barty Party. I'm going to nominate Nick Kyrgios as well because I do love him.
He's in the other column for me.
I'm going to nominate R&B Fridays. My wife texted me and said, how good's the music?
Yeah.
It's unreal. Cause, any nominations for Legends of the Week?
Would you mind if I put the Australian cricketers forward? They won the Ashes,
please.
Let their hair down.
They did. They partied all night and then got kicked out of the bar at, I think, 6:30 in the morning.
Too loud.
We got Nathan Lyon.
Yeah. Yeah. Rick.
Carrie.
No worries.
Jimmy Anderson.
Bingo.
Just video this, just for the lawyers.
Just for the lawyers.
Just for the lawyers.
I love that our two South Australians were there flying the flag as well, Alex Carey and Travis Head. I'm going to nominate Adele for Legend of the Week, who signed a deal in Vegas. Beck, you brought us this the other day. $1 million a night.
Oh. Woo. That's...
Well done, Adele.
That's good coin. You got to be happy with that.
That is some very sweet coin right there. But our Legend of the Week goes to Mark Moseley, the coach of Aldershot Football Club in England, the soccer club, who gave the best post-match interview I think we've ever heard. It was quite surreal and peaked when he talked about one of his assistants.
Terry's brought a briefcase in, you know. He's got four Japanese talking dogs in there. But, you know, this is what we work with, and we'll continue to work hard.
I just can't. I don't understand it.
Yeah, it's so good. More sports players should do it.
It's so good. Now, losers of the week, I'm going to nominate ScoMo for saying kids should be driving forklifts. Yeah. Rat thieves. Who's stealing the rat test?
Give the rats back.
Yeah, dirty rat thieves. Beck, any nominations for loser of the week?
I would like to, in a good-natured way, nominate Bo Ryan, who left I'm a Celebrity last night and then has confessed to us, we had a chat to him earlier, that he had never watched the show before, so he didn't know all the stuff he was going to have to do. Bo, come on.
It's one of them shows you've really got to watch before you do it.
Yeah. I think we could have told you that.
You really need to get across the show before you do it.
Yeah, yeah.
He was very hungry.
It's probably not a bad idea. But our loser of the week, first time ever someone has been loser of the week 2 weeks in a row. It's Novak Djokovic again. Yeah. Yes, because hit the road, Jack. Now, the French have said you're going to need a visa, you're going to need to be vaccinated to play in the French Open. Oh, so he's going to miss out on that one.
And he's
suing
us as well.
Is he suing us?
Yeah. $6 million. Because he's a bit poor. He's a bit povo. Beck, Cozzy and Limo. SAFM.